Welcome back to the House of Howell family. This is season 2, episode 2. We are on Morality Bites. It was directed by John Baring and it was written by Zach Estrin and Chris Levinson. This is also Morality Bites is also known as the makeout episode. Let's just put it out there right now. Just all the makeouts. Just so much like making out. Just make it out.
You know, we needed,
Let's just make out all the time.
To balance all the violence in this episode. But I will say this is one of my favorite episodes. And I realized that when I heard the name and I was like, wait, I like this episode, I think. And then the fake Netflix music came on and made me angry, but I got over it quickly. But this is the first time that the fake music has really bugged me. It's really bugged me, but I digress.
Everyone keeps saying this about the music because I still have not been able to experience it. So unless I go buy the DVDs, I don't get the music that you guys are how this show is actually meant to
what
be listened to.
What it was supposed to be.
So I'm just getting like a bunch of temp tracks.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, they're not the best.
It's not good.
Okay.
I found it interesting that, you know, we finished the episode, you know, we just had neighbor Dan here as a guest and, you know, it was really blossoming and, you know, Piper had all these other things. And then you open the door and it's like, oh, good to see you. I knew you were like, you knew I was coming back. And it was like, oh, they're together. I'm like, it was so
you guys made out like you made out like you weren't making out with other dudes.
Yeah.
So Piper is kind of low key a makeout bandit. Makeout bandit.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like this episode is
let's just put it out there.
Out of order. It's out of order somehow. I think maybe the third episode was supposed to be the second. And this is the third. It might be because we did that sometimes. But yeah,
that's
something
possible.
Is out of sync here. Yeah. And I do love John Baring.
I agree. I was
one
like
of our favorite directors. And he was such a sweet and kind man. And he was one of our directors, not unlike Zach, who wrote the episode too, that were just so in love with the story and the show. And it really shows. And there's a difference when you see our writer and directors and actors, you know, all invested in an episode. That's what makes this one better. I'm putting it out there already. It's one of the better of season 2.
I like it.
It was absolutely a great episode. I felt though, well, not even though, I felt so right off the bat, we kind of, it was an interesting twist in regards to the little tiny, if you start acquiescing on small things, what happens to the greater? Like that kind of overall theme that was happening with the thing. So it started with, you know, it's been established from the beginning that you guys cannot use your magic for personal gain. Correct. And so,
yeah,
the
and
fact
you know,
that you're
I mean,
kind of doing a
dog shit is kind of a gray area though. I mean, we called it duty, which
I
is
agree.
Actually what Alyssa and I used to call each other for some inexplicable reason, but that was it. It was a thing.
But if you're a dog walking your dog, you got to
curb your dog. I agree. You always got to curb your dog. And it makes
especially
me so
it's
angry
against the
still.
Law, people.
But when you see people walking their dogs and they're not picking up the dog duty.
Infuriating.
It's infuriating. It's like, that's just bad ownership.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of get back at this guy by making, like, and I don't even think you did anything wrong. You just made him step on his own dog's duty. But that kind of kickstarts something like this kind of whirlwind, almost, what's that? Like the Ebenezer Scrooge, like the Christmas story. What's that book called? What am I talking about? Like where you get to go visit the future and see what happens if you continue down this path.
And you get to see angry
now,
Leo.
We don't know that.
Angry.
Very angry. Also, Leo is back. Besides making out. Were you a blonde again?
I think so. There looked like there's some highlights in there.
Yeah, he's back. He knows.
He's been in
he
the
knows
sun.
What work.
Different hairdresser
for
this
sure.
Time.
So, but Leo's been faithful, I would assume. While the makeout bandit has been.
Well, why are we assuming
I'm
that?
I'm questioning. It's a question. I'm just questioning it because he seems like a one witch guy.
I'm an angel.
Right, because Daisy's storyline said that all about that. Yeah.
Daisy was all about the bad boys.
Yeah. Well, apparently you can be a bad boy in a decade if you want to, because you're like underground and angry. And are you insane?
Sister murdered somebody.
So, well, yeah, and she
by the way, that was a real interesting.
Holy.
So all of a sudden you're the moral police. You orbit. You're like, hey, this is what you did, but you didn't do it. Your future self did it, but you have to die. And I'm just going to leave you here.
That was harsh.
It was harsh. A real big choice.
I guess the love affair with Phoebe is harsh. Over. Done.
Nah. I'd have saved you.
I don't know.
You guys had that chemistry up in the attic, and now all of a sudden you're just leaving her to die, get burned at the stake.
Listen, a lot changes in a second.
The line was, trying to save the greater good. It's all about the greater good. It's not even about you individually. And I think that goes with the whole storyline initially. Right. It's not about getting revenge on one little act of anger. It's about the greater good. It's about the big picture. And I think that's kind of Leo's through line in this at the end. It's like,
okay, stranger.
Right.
No, anybody buying that?
Stranger.
So two quick questions for you. Was your guy's daughter Suri Cruz?
She does look like like the little girl who played Prue, but I guess it's a family thing. That's funny. Yeah.
Also, you guys had a daughter?
We did. Technically, we were supposed to. But in this world, like Wes's character was supposed to be a girl.
Alternate reality.
I don't know. It must have been something he said that night. I'm sure it was something he said that night. Maybe it was with his other family. Something changed about the future.
Right.
Well, the future wasn't turning out well. So obviously having a daughter, you had to bind their powers. Wasn't
But she couldn't do it.
We were showing you how bad things could get.
Yeah, but the fans are always pissed off about this question. Like, why? Where'd the girl go? The fans are not happy with this storyline development. So if there's ever a reboot, we're going to have to readdress it. I said the R word.
It's one of those things where as a writing staff in a writer's room, you're still trying to figure it out as it goes along, right? So this is still very early days in the inception of the show.
And but you can't predict it. You have a child named Melinda, as in Melinda Warren, and then it just... 8 years later, and we have Wyatt and Chris.
Two boys.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were showing
why do you have to say my name like it's an afterthought?
And Chris.
And Chris.
Those are not planned.
Chris. Where did we get that name? Just makes no
Chris
sense.
Chris is a boring
It was,
name.
It was the guy that was serving Piper and Leo sake that night when the inception of Chris.
I'm an accident.
Your name
wasn't our answer.
Yeah.
Is it the firefighter's name is Chris? No. Somebody else.
I think it's Daisy's ex-boyfriend.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Okay. So just a quick so many things to address. So basically you come in. Brian, your character is communicating with the elders, and yet they don't really tell you that the girls are about to have to go learn a lesson. They just kind of use you as a pawn to flip the Book of Shadows open, so they use this spell. Is that essentially it? You were kind of being used in this a little bit.
Yeah, it was. I kind of remember this being the first, really showing powers and touching the book and knowing that everybody had died who touched the book and anybody was in and out and talking about this, talking about the elders. I mean, have we even heard about who I listen to or where I go? And this is why I think
this is what I mean.
Potentially out of order.
Something's missing.
Might be a little out of order, but I do remember you know, at one point, and I don't know if it was this episode, but I think, and I was like, you know, I was really nervous, and I don't know if Holly, maybe you might've been there as well, but I was like, you know, what's up? And what, I was like, look, I don't know that I want, you know, oh, it's, I kind of felt like it was over for me, you know,
in this app.
Game over.
Well, that Leo was going to become this big demon and die. And, you know, I had just infiltrated,
oh
because
my
I'm
God.
Touching my book and doing these powers.
I get just, that at all. What
no,
the
no,
heck?
No, this is on the set on the day. This is what I'm kind of going through in my head. Cause I'm like, oh, as an actor, you can't, you know, this is the end of my character. And I remember Shannon being like, no, you're a good guy. Like she was reassuring me, like perhaps she knew more episodes to come than perhaps the rest.
She knew we had just killed Andy, so we couldn't kill another guy just yet. But literally I just Googled this to see if there was some switcheroo. And the first thing people ask, people also ask on Google is why don't they wear bras in Charmed?
That's
incredible.
I wore a tank top.
Not there lying. Like wow. What?
Why don't?
I don't know. Cause I mean, it's a free country. Damn it.
Yeah. Ha. Yeah. They want to let them be free. Let them do whatever they want to do. They don't want to wear bras. They don't have to wear bras. I didn't wear underwear while we were filming.
Oh, okay. Nobody needed to know that. Nobody asked that question yet. Thank you, Drew. Okay.
I thought we were sharing. We're not in the safe space.
This is an overshare.
Safe circle?
Nope.
Safe triangle?
Nope.
Safe triquetra? Nope. Okay.
Sure.
I take that back. I didn't do that. Sure.
All right.
Okay. So yeah. So, okay. Because there, you're right. The more I think about this, even though I haven't seen the next episode yet, there seems to be a lot of
inconsistencies.
Ease. And formality with you two. Like, again, it's not like if this was in the right order, you, for reasons
something
already mentioned, you know, a couple
odd.
Of weeks ago, that there was a making out with some other people. And Leo shows up and then you start making out with him as well.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I was just being friendly.
Listen, I would love friends like that. Love a friend like that. Hey,
you know, I don't like to hold grudges. Just don't like to hold grudges.
No, you're very good at that. Letting go.
Thank you.
Hey, so BK, from an acting standpoint, was it fun to kind of play this version of Leo who's like this loving, supportive version that we all know? And then to kind of be in the future and you're kind of coming in real hot, you're charged, you got a lot of anger. And like from an acting standpoint, did you love kind of getting to play both of those within the same episode?
Of course he did.
Well, of course. it was the first time as an actor not being kind of the same all the way through the project, being the same character truly. All the way through, I hadn't done any sort of, you know, Groundhog Day or anything like whatever movies before. So this is the first time actually, you know, feeling like, oh, okay, this is, you're not just playing. Yes, you're Leo, but your whole story has changed. Right. And right. This is something that would happen time and time again on this show. So, you know, I for me to watch it, even I critique the whole thing. So I'm like, oh, I wish there were certain things. I guess I wish I knew were going to happen in future storylines that could have potentially changed a performance, right?
Can you elaborate on
that? On the day, yeah. I think it's just all right. You know, be extra sweet here, be extra firm there, and you know, like you said, that last scene with Phoebe, I don't know what I was thinking, but to go back
at the end of the day, though, you can't really
remember on the day stuff.
Right, but in that moment, it's not like you have enough say hey to the writers going, this feels really weird, why would I just come in and basically tell her, yeah, you gotta die, I'm sorry, Like, I know it's not even you.
Sorry,
like,
kid.
There's a lesson here and you need. Yeah, but
I remember not quite understanding. Yeah, not quite understanding, you know, as Leo came in, I'm a boyfriend. I'm this. I understand powers and stuff.
Ex-husband.
But you know, this, they really put me in a position of that was way beyond what I was, right? Now I'm their equal and beyond here. So to, right. You know, now I'm telling you how it is. And that was something that is, you know, I didn't quite feel comfortable with. I didn't understand this world of what Leo was and anything. And, you know, it was, I don't know. I felt like it was weak on my part in that regards.
No, dude.
No, don't I don't like, think you were able to whatsoever.
Your hair was golden.
No, your hair was golden.
But I was just like, pissed off about angry Leo. So that means you did it well.
Good hair.
Good hair, you said?
Good hair. I had good hair. I had good.
You had good hair. Holly, you had some real 2009 hair going.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hair going on.
Somebody got excited. The bangs are kind of back. Kind of, but not kind of. But then they went away 10 years in the future. Did you notice? They went away.
I did notice.
You got curls.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was better than wearing a wig, which is what the other people were doing.
Oh, wait, Shannon didn't go platinum for real? I like Shannon as a platinum blonde. I'm here for it.
It's kind of nice.
But I also, I like this idea, like the future. It was, I love it when shows and stories jump a little bit time-wise and kind of paint a very dystopian style of the future. Specifically with this one, like there's witch hunters. The stakes were pretty high. Like they were about to, now I thought this was pretty gnarly, but they were going to not, the way they'd execute a witch in 2009 in this, you know, offshoot is they're going to burn her at the stake, which was really intense.
Well, you know, don't fix it. It's not broken.
About like.
Yeah. Why would you change that?
It's been working for thousands of years.
A werewolf.
Celebrate,
but I'm really grateful, by the way, that they kept addressing, because I kept asking myself this whole time when I was watching, like, how does someone kill someone with a premonition power? Like, everyone was like, and it kept coming back as a reoccurring kind of like question. Even Phoebe asked, like, what are you talking about? How, what am I going to like think them to death or whatever it was? Like, I loved that there was still a little bit of humor injected into a very serious kind of heavy,
we cannot take ourselves episode. Too seriously. Taking ourselves too seriously would even be a grave mistake. No, but she like electrocuted his brain, didn't she? Like zapped him.
Yeah. But we also see the evolution of your guys' powers as you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Which is cool.
Cool. Well, you know, it was a whole 10 years in the future. So 2009 was a big leap. 2009. That's when you were born,
what
right?
What happens in 2009? Okay. Like me, Drew, or me, Chris?
No, it can't be you,
what
Chris.
What year did the show end?
You could be Melinda.
Six.
Wait, what year did Charmed actually end?
2006.
Okay. Six. Well, things ended differently, mm-hmm. You know. HMC, was it fun? Like, talk to me about this. Like, was it balancing this kind of getting to play opposite angry Leo a little bit?
It was shocking. I'm trying still to figure shocked. It out. Like, it's still a little shocked.
Yeah. You guys also had a lot of emotional scenes. Like, again, the episodes where you just fully go there and it's. You're so
are you talking
good.
About the kissing scenes? Like, I mean, I had some skills. I mean,
no, I'm not
a whole decade
about the kissing scenes.
Skills. Sorry.
No, I'm talking about your emotional scenes.
Jogged his memory.
All cry and teary.
Oh yeah.
You're getting all teary, teary-eyed.
Yeah. So you know, Alyssa has said herself, you know, that she doesn't really like to make her body go through the transitions of like, you know, emotions and getting really upset and doing these kind of scenes are can be really difficult. And, you know, in this one, she definitely went there. She got me. I started crying. It was terrible. But yeah, it was, you know, I liked the episode for all the things. I think it got back to the darker aspect of things, you know, and being witches that we started with, you know, which was in the pilot. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to give it, I think I'm feeling generous today. I think I'm going to give it a 9.
Ooh. Wow. Uh-huh. I'm going to give it a 9 too. I really loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And again, it has the episodes that really sit for me or hit for me, I should say, are the ones that have all the things. And this had all those things. And it does definitely had a darker edge to it, which, you know, where the stakes were higher. And it felt like at any given time, like you actually were coming under real threat and pressure. And I think
I'm giving Angry Leo a 9.
Going there. But you really? Guys also going there emotionally, like when Alyssa kind of was taking responsibility and ownership and acceptance, kind of something that we've talked about in the past.
Well, that was also Leo's fault. That was Leo's fault. He made her do that. He made her feel that way. He's like, you get to die so everyone else can live. I mean, harsh. That's right. Harsh.
Live harsh, with but it. Like, but you went there, HMC. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually, like, Alyssa being as good as she was in that scene really allowed you to kind of completely break down. And we saw the vulnerability and what this, you know, what this all meant for you.
Well, notice I had to be the one to unfreeze the situation, which is basically like flipping the switch.
Yes. But. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though it was Leo's fault, all of it. Which explains why we were getting divorced.
I didn't make the decision, you know, Frisky Phoebe made.
Fibber Phoebe. She was also fibbing in this one, by the way, as well.
A lot of fibbing. This,
always fibbing.
You knew she was going to get you in trouble. It's just one little piece of ba-doo-doo. Well, look, now you're going to die.
Now everybody you know, dies.
This goes to the whole storyline of, it takes me back to something. I was breaking up with this gal, and you know, there had been some things that happened and we're whatever, but she had said to me at one point, you know, because I would tell her little white lies about where I'd go, because I knew if I told her the truth she'd be angry. Maybe you guys have dealt with this sort of situation in relationships, and I think this is what we do. We don't always tell the whole truth because we're worried about how someone's gonna feel or they're gonna react, or you know, and that's all in her head.
Okay.
So tell these little white lies. And she said to me, she goes, you know, one little white lie and then another little white lie. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of them. And I don't trust you about anything. And it's stuck with me forever that it's one little white lie to change someone's trust and thought. And, you know, I think it's the same thing with an act of anger or revenge. And but that's always kind of stuck with me. And this episode really reminded me of that.
Lying is bad, kids.
It's bad.
That's not part
of it. Lying is bad. But now, question though, is there a time when a white lie for the greater good is okay in your eyes? No judgment.
Yeah, no. I just have learned that it's just easier not to lie. It's just easier to live your life not lying, and you don't get yourself in that predicament where you have to cover a lie with a lie with a lie. Ugh, so much energy. Sure.
I think sometimes there's holding off on all facts, let things present themselves perhaps, but to really come out and with an untruth to protect someone's feelings, I think will always come back to backfire you. But I have found, and I agree with Holly, that truly being, you know, honest and totally transparent really is the best way to live. And if someone can't handle the truth, you can't handle the truth, then, you know, that's on them. And because, you know, you never have to go back and have a cover story. You don't, it's not a story if it's the truth.
Okay. Well, then expanding on that a little bit, One of the big lines from this episode was protect the innocent, not punish the guilty. Right. Do you find if you had this power, and I always like think about this when it comes to like comic book movies and stuff as well, like whether it's Batman, Superman, or Aquaman, shout out to Mimosa. this idea of protecting innocent people versus kind of going out and punishing people that you know are guilty. Like that's a really fine line as well. Because if you have the power and the opportunity to do it, I mean, that's a fine line because it ultimately becomes vigilantism. But given that like considering the state of the world, if you had the opportunity to do that, like, where's the line with that? Do we still stand by that thing, or would you?
It's kind of like the Tom Cruise movie, right? Where you're going out and busting people for their thoughts before they've even done something.
Oh, Minority Report.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Tom Cruise in this episode. Lord.
Yeah. That's why I went back to it.
You see.
The mustache, the whole bit.
Speaking of which, did you guys see that the stunt thing that he does where he's driving the motorcycle off the mountain? He does it like 18 times for the one stunt for the next Mission Impossible. And they're airing it in front of movies right now.
Lord.
It's him. No. Every time he's on a motorcycle, they've built a ramp that shoots off a cliff in Switzerland.
Right, and then he parachutes, right?
And then he parachutes. He ditches the motorcycle and he parachutes. And I think they did like 18 takes in one day. And it's him every time.
Crazy. He just really needs the best. Thrill. He really needs a thrill or 18.
He's a movie star.
Yes, he is.
18 thrills. I would like even the thought of it makes my stomach go a little queasy. I'm like, oh,
that'd be awesome.
Like, it's a cliff, HMC, in Switzerland or Austria. Mm-hmm. Like, rides the bike off the cliff.
Bless him.
Was that your experience on Born on the 4th of July?
Well, no. That's another episode.
No, that is another episode. Well, anyway, BK, what do you give this ep?
I guess, watching myself, I'm always going to rate those lower, but...
You're really down on yourself for this one.
No, you were great, dude.
You were good in this episode. I would tell you if you sucked. I would tell you if you sucked.
I'm going to tell you for the next... This is going to be the next 7 years of this podcast. It's a 5. I love the story. Phoebe was great. You're great. I love you.
Cue the Nickelback.
Hey, buddy, you were great. I bought you as an angry guy.
Nah,
I never made it as a wise man.
You were fantastic. Like the sweet version of you. Angry.
You're like, don't let it loose.
Dude.
Don't let it loose.
Hey, the sweet version of you. And then the version of you that was angry and charged, like the fact that we got to see both of those in the course of like 15, 10 minutes, like you killed it. You were great.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I got to be all the wives. I was the soon-to-be wife, the present wife.
And then it was kind of stating our future at the end. Like it was like, okay, these two are going to be a thing.
We're going to work on it.
And you know, that's kind of where I was like, well, how is that when I know what's in the future with, you know, certain neighbors and fire people? Like, what it keeps me intrigued. Like,
what does that mean?
There was only one fire person, not people.
Future's Rocky for Piper and Leo. Let's just leave it there.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's one guy that you're really. I haven't even mentioned him yet.
I mean, it's an overall episode, I have to agree, on the 9 level. I mean, John Baring, yes, amazing.
You're embracing your performance.
Emotions. Yeah, it was putting me aside. Otherwise, it'd be a 10. It was fun. You know, this for the first time, I'd say it's really up there. You like you had mentioned, it has everything. It starts with the drama, the, you know, someone's going to die. And in a way that wasn't really a demon. So it was hard. It was much, this is something the girls haven't had to face. It's not say a spell, kill a demon.
Yeah. And this episode, the human was the demon. The human was the demon. Yeah,
that's right.
And the witch hunt. And the witch. Yeah. And the witch hunt is a very real thing that still happens. It doesn't happen to the big orange man. That was not a witch hunt, just for the people out there. But the witch hunt mentality is still extremely prevalent in this country and the world.
It is. It certainly is. And it doesn't take much to motivate a group of people against a small minority and mm-hmm. demonize them.
Yep.
That's for sure. But, it's, you know, Ukraine. What I also loved is how the girls still band together. And they, you know, the intelligence they showed and the calmness and, you know, under that sort of pressure, how are you going to come out of it? And I feel like the writers did a good job and the girls acting it as well of what that might be like to go through and face. And that's why it was just well done. It was, you know, except for Frosted Tips, maybe.
And on that note, on that note, the goat is awake. Should we have a moment?
I want to hit the door in any other episode, because that'd be a pretty awesome freaking trick.
What? Sure.
Speaking of, you know, the girls having this togetherness and this bond and family and what that meant, the greater good, protecting the greater good. Today we have a special guest, perhaps the matriarch that goes beyond the ghostly, ever lovely, super fantastic Jennifer Rhodes. I can't wait to have her on.
Rhodes is in the house, but literally Grams is in the house. Grams is in Drew's house in the captain's chair.
Oh, we started?
We are.
Yeah, we've been rolling for the last 20 minutes.
But we do have the power of editing. Oh, okay. And so.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. It's so good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you guys since Paris.
Paris.
I say that.
Probably 7 years ago.
Paris. That's been a few years. I guess so. So it's been a while. I love saying that. You know, it makes me sound like a jet setter.
It does.
I haven't seen you guys since we were in Paris, you know.
That's right.
Of course, you guys have probably been to Paris since then.
We're actually going.
Yeah, once or twice.
April 1st. We are.
April 1st. Now, which one is this? Is it a charm convention or is it like one of those group
conventions? It's a group convention, so it's a whole bunch of different shows. But
it's a manga, which is their term for they basically a game show. So it's a lot of toys and collectibles and a handful of actors. It's more geared towards the cosplay gaming world in a way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the first one of those I did was in 2006, Star Fury, I think it was called.
Yeah, that might have been it. Yeah. Was that in Birmingham, London?
No, it was in London. It was my first one. And I spent like 3 days with 600 people. And I've never seen so much enthusiasm. You know, as actors, we like to, of course, have our work appreciated, but I wasn't prepared for the true affection, that you got. And it was very touching. I enjoyed it.
It is. And it's still pretty amazing. It is
something. I think that's something the three of us, kind of how the three of us came together, doing a panel at a convention and having our chemistry is kind of how it all started, and going to the convention and meeting the fans and hearing the stories and being touched by, you know, the fandom. Can you expand more on that? The fandom and the people coming up to you and, you know, is it a lot of Grams and Charmed, and can you share your experience as you've met the fans as well?
Yes. I think story that comes to mind is this woman. I actually got, you know, a fan letter years ago from this woman in Delaware. And I responded to it. And then I was at some convention on the East Coast. And she came up to me and she said, "Jennifer, it's Lisa." And it and that was how many years ago. And to this day, we still send Christmas cards sometimes. And so it's kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, they called it pen pals. But, you know, it's you sort of make friends with people that you sometimes, most times, have never met. But it was a good experience. And then I was trying to think of it. Oh, I was in Perugia and got to stay in a castle, a real castle.
Wow.
And that was, and it wasn't Charmed. It was a group of different shows, you know, and I had a good time on that one too. And of course, Paris.
Any dalliances along the way?
Any what?
Dalliances along the way?
Entanglements?
Valiant?
What's love, that? Love, torrid love affair.
What's that word? I like to learn new words. What was that word?
Like a torrid love affair.
A toy?
A torrid love affair.
Oh, torrid. Oh, I thought it said toy. Toy boy. I'm trying to think of the ones that I can tell you about. I mean, of course there were, but you know, you don't.
Of course.
Some of these things you share and some you don't.
Some you save for the book later.
I mean, no one's really listening. Yeah, this is a safe space amongst four friends.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can just see this. Did you hear what Graham said? She said this guy should. No, I can't think of any offhand. God knows I wish I had, but, you know, none come to mind.
No young prince in Paris or young prince in a castle. Mm-mm.
Well, I could make it up, I suppose.
Yes.
off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone exciting. I'm just trying to think if I was sober. Maybe no, I was sober. No, I don't know. You guys.
Went straight.
I know how that goes.
I dove right in.
When we're sober, what? Sometimes. yes, there's stories when we're sober and stories when we're not. So let's stick with the I could make it up and make believe. Jennifer, you've been acting forever. You played the iconic role of Grams on Charmed, and you know, having you here and the fans and. They love you, and you're such the matriarch of the show. Could you describe for our listeners and for us how you eventually came to the spelling world? Had you worked in it before? Did you know? Obviously, you knew these shows from the late 70s, 80s, and spelling had kind of grown. But could you talk a little bit about how you came to Charmed initially?
I had done a spelling show before, a short-lived series called Nightingales. And I think I did 10 out of 13, and then they ended it. I don't think it was because of my performance. I think it was because it was about nurses, and the nurses protested, and so they had to end the series. But then I was asked to audition for Charmed, and my agent said, "Well, you have an audition for a witch." And I thought, oh, okay. So I go to the audition. Everyone's dressed in black. I don't remember what I wore. But the audition scene was a grandmother comforting her grandchild. And so I played the scene very, you know, loving and trying to make her feel better. And then the producer said, oh, no, she's not comforting at all. She's not consoling her. She's very flippant about it. And I said, oh, really? Mm. And they said, yes, would you like to go outside and work on it and bring it back? I said, no, let's just do it again. So I did it again, like, oh, please. please, why don't you drop this piece of whatever and just get over it and get on with it? And so they gave me the job.
Yes, they did.
And I think it's sort of, but I think that nothing is sacred sort of attitude was sort of prevailed with the Graham's character throughout, you know.
Definitely throughout. You made it your own. And what a, the show wouldn't be what it was without Graham's for sure. Yeah, wonderful job.
That's a rumor that I started.
It says, now we all know.
Yes, yes. Huh. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Of course.
It was very enjoyable. We always had a good time when you were there.
Well, good. I mean, you and I had a lot of good scenes together, as I recall. I mean, good in the sense that well-written, of course, well-acted, of course, by both of us, right? Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, of course.
I would agree. But,
I remember, I did remember one funny thing, and I think I talked about it at one. Holly, you'll probably remember this story. Mm-hmm. You and I, it was a scene with the two of us, and we were supposed to fall on the floor, and the camera was on the floor, and we fell into the shot just face down, hand. Oh, you can see my hand. Okay. So when we hit the floor, I uttered some four-letter obscenity under my breath, and you said, "Graham's, did you say?" And I said, "No." And this voice behind the camera said, "Oh, yes, you did." So we had to do it again.
Well, yes, we did have our mishap.
What was the four-letter word in question?
Well, it was a choice of two. I don't recall, but I don't know on podcasts if.
We're
X-rated.
Oh, we X-rated. Oh, well, it was the choice of two. I think you know what they were.
S or an F? Yes, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. I'm so ladylike that I wouldn't dream of.
X-rated. Never.
That's a rumor I started too.
She fit in quite well. And you and Shannon had good chemistry too.
We did.
You did.
I actually had worked with Shannon on Heather's years ago when she was a teenager, I guess, and I was younger. And do you know that picture, Heather's? It sort of turned into a cult film.
It has.
And anyway, we worked together on that. And then, of course, wound up, that's just a bit of trivia. And anyway, we had a lot of scenes together. And she's a good actress, you know. All of you guys were so subtle. You know, there wasn't all this, as I recall, we didn't. Rehearsing wasn't a big thing. I mean, because you guys knew your characters so well. And then I come in and think, I got to run lines with somebody. And you know, what's my point here? My point is that we didn't do a lot of line rehearsals, but when it came time, it all just happened, you know.
Yeah, it was fast and furious most days. But we, you know, we sort of prided ourselves on our 12-hour workday. We wanted to get our crew home, and we just didn't want it to be abusive to everyone. So we did have, you know, small rehearsal times, and just, you know, if we had mishaps, we let them lay where they may. And often a lot of them ended up on camera, except for the four little word. We weren't cable yet.
Well, if it had been Netflix, I guess it would have been okay.
Yeah, It would have been totally, totally different show.
Different show. Different show. Hey, yeah. Jennifer, when you were cast as the role of Grams, did they actually ever tell you about kind of what that would entail or how often you'd be coming in and out of their lives? Like, was there anything about that time and place that you knew of or that they told you about that informed your character and how you were going to kind of be such an important piece?
No. When I got the job, I was told that it would be a two-part, two-episode role. Was Woogie in the House? Is there a Woogie in the House? And the 70s episode. Those were the two shows that I was booked for. And then, so when I got a call back to do another one, I was surprised, you know. And I wound up doing two episodes a year. Per season, I mean, for all eight seasons. So I got lucky, you know. And the show, the fan base all over the world is just was really surprising to me. In fact, I was in South Africa at the Nelson Mandela. It was either a museum or an exhibit of his, and there was a tour guide there. In South Africa, and she says, aren't you Charmed or something like that? She recognized me from that show, and I thought. And then I was on a boat, a little cruise ship someplace, exotic, like Bora Bora or Western Australia. And the chef on the ship said, you work in that show about witches, right? I thought, Jesus Christ, you know. I mean, that amazed me.
Yeah, it was wide-reaching. It still is. It's still, that's how we get to go around the world.
I know.
I think this year, and we end up in New Zealand at the end of the year. So it's really, it's impressive. And your character is very...
It's showing in New Zealand.
Yeah, we're doing a convention in New Zealand.
Yes, for her.
Oh, great, great.
For doing so many few episodes, Graham's... was not forgotten per episode. Like your character carried through all 22 episodes all season, even though you may not have appeared, your voice continued in the girls' ears. They talked about you, you know, you really were, it's as if you were there. So when you came back season to season to season and it grew, how did you approach as an actress, to help make it grow and, you know, perhaps did you have input on wardrobe or your take on the character, how you were growing yourself? Were you watching the show as well?
No, you can say no. You can say no. It's okay.
Well, I mean, I could say that I only watched the ones I was on, but that would not be true. That would not be true.
That's okay.
Definitely watched all of them. You remember Stylish Eilish?
How can we forget Miss Eilish?
The wardrobe. She was wonderful. And of course, she really, you know, brought in fabulous things. But I think, like when I first had my picture taken for the hallway, they had me in this prim little blouse. And I think my hair was in a French twist or something. It was very grandmotherly. And then as it went on, it got more flamboyant. Mm-hmm. And I have a tendency toward that myself. I like, you know, flamboyance. And so I think it was a combination of her fabulous taste and my interest in certain kinds of clothing, which contributed to the look of Grams. But I think also writers sometimes, not being a writer myself, but when you see an actor, you see their personality starting to unfold in a character. I think sometimes the writers think about that personality and they enhance that characteristic. Like, you know, Grams always had to have the last word. Or I remember there was one episode where I was saying something, and then they said, well, and I was, and my character was wrong. And I said, well, it could have happened that way. You know, she always had to be right. And, in a silly way, it was fun. And, I was trying to think what else, you asked me about the character developing, the Big Bad Wolf, I think was one of my, favorite, Happily Ever After, mm-hmm. the episode name, I believe. And, the whole idea that we were in a show about fantasy, you could do anything. I mean, to be able to play the Big Bad Wolf, how many chances do we get as actors to play that kind of a part, or that, you know, it was, I was surprised as the role grew, and I was surprised that they had one episode about a love interest for me.
That's right. Wasn't that?
This is what we want to talk about.
That's the necromancer, isn't it?
What?
If memory serves, I think it was the necromancer. Mm-hmm.
Chris Sarandon.
Not a bad partner.
Yeah, Drew needs to be skinny on all of that.
What?
Yeah, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to, I want to learn all about Chris Sarandon. This is Humperdinck,
know how Chris,
right?
You want to know how Chris was? Well, he had to have my approval.
Yes, we do. This is Humperdinck for people who don't know who Chris Sarandon is.
Oh, they may not know who he is.
Everybody knows who he is, Drew.
Just making sure.
Okay.
Just making sure.
That was my first screen kiss.
Was it really?
Now, one might say it. At the age of, you know, I was at that time, I would think, gee, you'd think she would have experienced this before. But no, over my career, I was always getting cast as attorneys and women of authority and the beat up, you know, over the hill prostitute in Cagney and Lacey, those kinds of things. And so, you know, I'd never had a love scene before. And I thought, come on, Chris, let's do this. You know, let's just, I didn't say it in so many words, but, you know, it's like, come on, it's okay. You know, one time I was doing, I'm off the subject now, but I was doing Third Rock from the Sun. And, you know, that series.
Yeah, great show. Great show.
Comedy. And the funny looking guy, I can't think of his name. He's so funny. He was supposed to be searching me, and he had me up against the wall, and I was playing the wife of the dean of the school, and he's supposed to be, you know, patting me down. And I said, I give you permission, just do it. Don't, you know, go for it, because it's funnier. Mm-hmm. If you really do it, it's funny.
Yes.
Right. Whereas if you just do that, that's not funny.
No.
My point being, I'm not going to say my point.
Well, Chris Sarandon.
No, but I just thought, you know, I didn't say let's practice, but I mean,
but the trailer was open.
Lunch was in your trailer.
So going back to how much rehearsal time we needed to have, we needed a few more rehearsals with you and Chris. I understand.
How much was for Chris? Yeah, it just wasn't enough, I think. Anyway, I thought the screen kiss was just fine. It came across just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it open mouth or closed lipped?
Modified.
Modified.
Modified on my part, you know, at least.
Modified.
I just. But again, I'm not an expert on screen kisses.
No one is.
You just had to go with the flow.
They're not
feeling.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? It's interesting that you say that, because this episode that we're talking about in question, there, like, basically my main note was, what is this, a makeout show all of a sudden? All you guys are doing is making out.
Yeah. I feel like this episode is out of order, because he just walks in the door and we're just making out the entire episode. Like, what happened to haven't heard from Leo in weeks, but no. It's apparently
You were hooking up with someone else last week.
It's apparently
there was so many there's so many makeouts in this episode.
Quite a few. It was
I think it was like a little bit of a hybrid open mouth, closed mouth.
With Leo and yeah. her too.
Could have seen that. But you know, the angles, it was the camera angles at that moment. Uh-huh. But yeah.
But you guys were doing that all the time though. I mean, you guys.
I know. It's an old hat for them, huh? Always doing that. Yeah, always making
out. There is something. Yeah, but there is something about a chemistry between two actors.
We had none. I don't know.
I mean, it really helps. Look, it really helps.
And it's put up with it. We're like, you what? Oh, I got a kiss now? All right. Let's not even talk about it.
Yeah. If you weren't divorced.
Walk away. Like, I'm gonna tell you, buddy.
Yeah. If you weren't divorced before this episode, this is when it really happened, because we just did nothing but make out casually, like it was no big deal. Literally old hat.
But it helps for the on camera to do that off screen. I mean, to help to practice.
Whoa. What are you breaking some news here? What's happening?
No, I'm just saying between.
Okay.
I just
want to make sure we're clear. I just want to be clear.
I'm just saying to be affectionate. Well, it's like two actors who know each other very well and they're doing, say, a play together. You can see that chemistry is already there, or I don't know. Cruz and what's his name? What's her
Kidman?
Name? Yeah. The relationship shows. I feel like we're in a scene from Top Gun here or something with all these
with her headphones.
Victor, Bravo.
Highway to the Danger Zone.
And Brian's mustache.
Fuller, get him off my tail.
Hey, so Jennifer, what? I have a question about your process as an actress, because like you were such a badass on the show. Like, do you have a specific acting process that you brought to Grams, or is that just like you kind of brought you to the character and you're like, this is a version of me and I'm just going to like roll with it?
Well, I think in most roles, you take a role and you say, what part of me works for this role? Mm. You know, what can I take out of my personality that will make me do something horrendous, like in a drama, if you're going to kill someone or something? What do you find within yourself that works in that scene, whether it's obviously not actually murdering somebody, but maybe the fantasy of wanting to kill somebody at some point. But I think the humor or the that sort of grandiose, not grandiose, but flamboyant sort of quality and fun and just sort of wanting to be the center of attack. There you go. Like a lot of actors, you know, we like to be the center of attention, right? I think Grams was that way too. Even though you give love to someone else, there's that quality in me worked for the character, I think. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Is she one of your favorite characters that you've ever played?
It certainly was a character that gave me an opportunity to grow and to expand the character in different situations, like the love interest or taking care of the girls or losing a granddaughter. I have had other roles on stage that were equal to that, that I felt that. And one favorite role I had was on A Quantum Leap, where I played sort of a mommy dearest, mean woman. And that was a great role too. I mean, I had a cigarette like this and stuck it in some blind man's almost to his eye, you know, that kind of a thing. Really mean. But
you had fun.
But I like, that was fun, yeah. But I always prefer comedy.
Right. You know, you're very good at it.
when I say comedy, I mean something that's fun, not heavy, 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 you know. I just read for something that was like heavy, heavy, heavy.
There's a lot of heavy these days.
And I prefer comedy.
Yeah, well. Sometimes it's a little too heavy. So you're still auditioning and looking for your next psychopath?
Yes, I say on my Twitter, I'm an actress waiting to be discovered, but they need to hurry.
That's amazing.
No, I'm auditioning all the time, and I hate the new process now because I'm going to retract that. I'm getting accustomed to the new process, doing self tapes.
I hate it too.
Going in the room and doing it the way you're supposed to. Thank you.
I hate it.
No, I just read for a show, which up until 6 o'clock last night, I was on an avail or in the mix, as they say. Mm. Until last night at 6 o'clock, the fools said they'd gone with someone else. So
morons, what? Morons,
idiots,
total fools. Can idiots. You imagine why would they do
who? That? Who would they hire over you? Who's well, the competition since, right now?
Since I just called them fools, I don't think I'll mention the show.
Good call.
But it's a network show.
Huh. Nobody watches network TV anymore.
Nope.
Ooh. Yeah, I know, but for actors it's the best gig to get, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I did an NCIS last season, which was fun. It was a cute part. So yes, the answer is I'm still out there doing the same thing I've always done, and it's the one profession that we can do until we're in our 90s, you know, or whatever. Mm. I mean, you know, roll right for you, a 95-year-old at the Somes, you know. Huh? Oh, yeah, I can do that part. I'm right for that. You know?
No problem.
Would you ever consider going back on stage?
I love to be on stage. I prefer stage over film, actually, if I have my druthers. I mean, number one, you sleep late. You know, you take a little, have an afternoon of whatever you do, then you have a little nap in the afternoon, then you go do the show, then you go out for dinner, and you're in total charge of your performance. You know, I love stage.
This is a common theme that we've found with a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, like Tyler, for example, who played Melinda Warren. She basically gave up a film career and just pursued a career on stage because that's where her calling was. That was where her heart lay. Like, that's just what she wanted to do more than anything else. And she said the rewards that she got off on stage, not to take away credit from the people who, you know, have made a career out of film and television, but the deep love for walking the boards is second to none for her. And it sounds like it's the same for you, which is awesome.
It is. I think that's one reason I hate to give up the auditions, because when you're auditioning, you have an audience. You can feel an audience.
It feels like in a performance. I mean,
even in the room.
Yeah.
You feel them. You can tell if it's working or not. When you're just doing a self-tape, you think, oh, God, is this working? You know? Oh, well, I'm carrying on.
No, you're beautiful. We love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good.
That's great. Are you having a good time on the House of Hallowell?
I am. It's new to me.
Well, you're going to come back for your necromancing episode because it's Drew's going to have some questions.
I'm going to have a lot of questions. I already know. And I'm going to try and get Chris Sarandon on here too. Maybe at the house as well. Well, everyone will be here.
Don't tell him what I said.
We won't. We're just going to ask him about his experience, how he felt it went, and if there should have been more rehearsal.
And you'll say, what's her name? You know, that she was after me all the time during her.
made it in today.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh.
What else?
So are you doing are you open to be doing more conventions as well as Grams? Like, is this something that you're actively pursuing? Like, are we gonna get to see you out there on the road anytime soon?
I haven't been actively pursuing it. Of course, I haven't been invited either. So maybe it's a combination of the two.
When I say I haven't
been invited, I mean, I think that, no, I'm not going to say what I was just going to say. Anyway, it might not come across the way I want it to. Anyway, the point is that I have not pursued, I don't have a agent for it, but yes, I do enjoy doing them, and
okay. There's
many reasons to do them, obviously.
I was about to say, like,
get you out there again.
Brian and Holly.
Since you're just a fan favorite, hands down.
It always surprised me. A lady called me, I don't know, years, like maybe the first or second season of Thirds, I don't know what season it was. Some freelance writer called me, got in touch with me from the Midwest. And she said, we wanted to interview you. I said, you want to interview me? And she says, do you know you have a lot of fans out there? And I said, no, I didn't. This is before I'd ever gotten on social media too, you know? So it always came as a very nice surprise. And to be appreciated, and I also appreciate the fans. So,
yeah. Have you gotten any?
They love you so much, and your
the paintings from.
No, they should.
Have you gotten any of the paintings from the Book of Shadows?
What,
Jared? We have a super fan named Jared, and he sends you the pages.
Yes.
Of the book. Isn't he lovely?
He sent me a painting, mm-hmm. not of the Book of Shadows, but a floral. He gave me a choice of paintings.
Would you like me to contact him and see if he can send you a painting of Chris Sarandon?
I think so. We'll send you the page.
I was going to ask for one of you, but no, Chris is okay. No,
he's okay.
I wanted one of Drew, of course.
We could get you the book of.
Oh selfie. Yeah, there's
no, Jared. I'm very, very much aware of Jared because he went out of his way to do this, and I.
Yeah,
he sent me a choice of which one do you want.
He's lovely. He's one of my favorites for sure.
Well, it's funny. You do get to know a lot of them, like mm-hmm. I said, personally or by name. Or there's this fellow. Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
You are a treasure trove of secrets, Miss.
Yes, she is.
Am I?
Yes. Well, while you have us, before we let you go, do you have any questions that you've been dying to ask Brian over the last few years? And now here's your opportunity. He's in the hot seat.
Well, I was going to ask him after the broadcast because it's kind of a secret, but.
Oh.
Well, no one's I'll listening. Ask him now. We're
on. If he's on a hot seat, then I'll ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I don't. I'm. Yes. I'm nervous. I got butterflies.
Affirmative.
One time on social media, I said something. I don't remember what it was. And you came back, you responded with an angry face and said, angry. Hmm. And I thought, what's he angry about? Do you remember that?
No. What?
Could it be somebody else that was pretending to be you?
There's always that possibility.
There's a lot of. I have a few people pretending to be me. I do know that when I was drinking years ago, I was kind of loose on social media. Perhaps that's why I've deleted some accounts. But I was never. I don't know why. What was the post?
I don't remember. I just remember
like an anti-Leo post.
What was he angry about?
Huh?
It could be. I would say more often than not, especially because you have a rapport with people like us, like how someone the other day convinced you that you were talking to me and you gave them your number and an email address. Ooh. Like it more often than not, that probably it's not coming from the actual person, it seems, unless that's why verification is actually important, because then you're like, hey, this
I get messages on Instagram from people I know telling me that there is a fake me out there messaging, thanking them, let's connect, and sending them personal messages. And I think exactly something we should tell all our Patreon fans and everyone listening, that if you get a message from us, it is probably 99.9% chance it is not us.
Unless it's on Patreon.
Slide into your DMs. Unless it's on Patreon, we're generally not going to slide into your DMs. And that's not Ryan Reynolds messaging you. I know you hope it is, but it's
not.
And,
if he just knew me, I know he'd love me.
Who, Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm awfully glad you're not angry with me, Brian, about something.
Oh, my gosh. Never.
No.
Never. That's what I'm saying. There's like immediately this doesn't sound, this doesn't track.
No,
you know, even with there's plenty of actors out there today who I see post things on social media that I do not agree with and or oppose or slightly offended to. And I would never go on social media and engage to the opposing view or be aggressive on social media. It's just not me.
No, he just tells me when we're in person.
Yeah, or things should never be.
You guys believe him, right? You, Drew.
Yeah,
Holland, totally.
No. You would never. I think that's true. It's true in general. You don't want to get into a debate in a public forum with someone you don't agree with, like especially if it's a friend or someone that you know. Like that's something that you do privately. Right. You know.
I agree. That's why
when we sign off, I got something to talk to you about, Jennifer.
Ooh.
Okay.
Speaking later, of Gator. Which, guys, hey, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really, we love you. If you had fun, please come back and hang with us, especially for this Necromancer episode that I'm now very intrigued by.
You should be.
Well, I'm glad I could help you out with the technical stuff today too, Drew.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
He's all thumbs when it comes to this stuff.
That's why I came over here. I know that's why I came over here. He needed help with
all the help.
Technical stuff. So, Holly, it was nice to see you again.
It's lovely to see you. I can't wait to see you.
You are a lovely. No, I have a compliment for you.
Uh
oh.
I think you are a lovely. No, for not Holly. You. Jesus, Drew. You are a lovely actress to work with and a very giving actress to work with.
Thank you.
There.
That's likewise.
That's all
she is.
I thought Drew was terrific on, was it SWAT?
Army Wives?
Oh,
SWAT.
No, the Rookie.
Was the SWAT?
Rookie.
I did SWAT.
What was it? No. Oh, the Rookie. It was the Rookie.
Well, were you the Rookie?
That was very Drew, kind Joel. Of you.
Were you the Rookie?
Thank you. No, Nathan Fillion's. Nathan Fillion's the Rookie.
And you didn't you don't watch him? My stuff because, well, you know, we're fighting.
I haven't seen your stuff. No. You what? But I hear you're an awfully good golfer.
He is.
And a good hybrid kisser.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
Well,
the things that Holly has said about you.
Back. Come on. Okay.
You know, she's a kiss and tell like you
okay.
Wouldn't.
Well, I'm pulling out my headphones.
At some point, it's just work, people. It's work.
Over and out.
Thank you all
Maverick.
So much.
Bye, Maverick. Bye.
The house of Powell.
It's time to buzz the tower.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on, y'all. Hold on.
Witchy dumb. Ooh,
we're out of here. Time to buzz the tower.
Ooh.